So we're talking a little bit about courage today and the need for courage. And Kerry's going to give out the packs for the kids. And we're going to get you involved after the stream's finished and get some feedback from you. So I think, yep, I will need my clicker, sorry. Thank you. So let's just pray and then we'll get stuck in the God's word. There's some handouts for you as well later, as we've been doing every week. So Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come and just touch our hearts, that we might be open to the seeds that you're planting in our life. Help us to respond to you today. Help us to have open minds and willing hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, we know Bertie wasn't very courageous, but this is an example of someone who is. Some of you may have seen this guy. Nick is an incredible guy. That's his family there. There's a short interview that you can click on that link, but if you Google him, you'll find out a couple of interviews. Nick was born without arms or legs. And obviously some of the practicalities of life, such as brushing your teeth, getting your hair looking right, is going to be difficult for him. But actually, his lifestyle is incredible. He's been to over 50 countries talking to school children, talking to business leaders, talking to people around the world about what it's like. He swims. He surfs. He's been skydiving. He has his own company. This is a guy with no arms and legs. If you want to be inspired, follow up and look a little bit more about him, but not during the service, of course. Do you ever wish that you had that sort of courage? Do you ever wish in your life that you felt you had the courage to make some of the decisions that he's actually had to make? Because when we look at other people, we often think they have it together, don't we? We look at their lives or we look at their Facebook posts, and it all seems so nice, it all seems so pleasant, it all seems like they have it together. And then we look at ourselves and we see ourselves wrestling with decisions, we see ourselves wrestling with opportunities, we see ourselves wrestling at times with fear and needing courage to make decisions. But I want to encourage you today that it's not just yourself that feels like that, that actually there were a number of people in the Bible that needed to hear a message of encouragement. Because encouragement is about giving you courage. It's in the word. And maybe you need courage for some decisions. Maybe you need courage to step forward. And one such leader was a guy called Joshua. And Joshua was bringing a ragtag bunch of people out from slavery. They'd been in slavery 400 years. They spent 40 years in the desert. But God had promised them a land of Israel. And he said, I want you to take it in. But Moses had been a leader for such a long time with his people. It's kind of like the equivalent of who's going to take over when the queen dies. Like, I mean, they have a hard job who, you know, if that's Prince Charles, after such a long and distinguished reign. You can imagine then how Joshua's feeling after Moses is gone and God comes and speaks to him. And three times in 9 verses, he says to him, I want you to be strong, because I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And then he says it again. Only be strong and courageous. And then he adds a little addition into that. In Joshua chapter 1, he says, be careful to obey what I'm telling you. And then the third time he comes and says to him, do not be frightened, don't be dismayed, for God will be with you wherever you go. 3 times in 9 verses, Joshua gets this message of the need to be strong and courageous. Why? Because God knows we need that message repeatedly. God knows we need to have courage in our life. That's why around 365 times in the Bible, it actually says, do not fear. One for every day of the year, because we need courage every day. God didn't tell Joshua to make sure he was an expert on military strategy. As he's looking over the land, he didn't kind of work everything out, and God didn't say to him, do you know what, Joshua, I'm going to give you some ideas for new weapons so you will take the land. Actually, he said, I want you to be strong. Now, Joshua was facing some enemies. Joshua was facing people who didn't want to leave the land. So he was going to have some battles to face along the way. And we have too. If we're going to have courage, and even though God is with us, it doesn't mean to say it's just going to be plain sailing, does it? When God is with us, we still need to have courage. And that's why the Bible says to us in the New Testament, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So that's the truth that we all need to grab onto. Not that we have all the answers, but that God has promised never to leave us, never forsake us. That's where we get courage. That's where we get strength. But how do we put that into practice? Because that's the challenge, isn't it? We may agree with that, and we may nod our heads and say, well, of course, that sounds about right. That sounds like something the Bible might say. But how do we put that into practice in our own lives? So I want to share some stuff this morning for you. Well, what is fear? Fear, we know, is that emotional reaction. You know, just as I was coming in today, there was a Labrador outside, and I went over to stroke it, and it kind of went for me. But I'm not that fussed on dogs. But the reason it went for me is because the dog was blind. And so it didn't know what was happening. But immediately my reaction was just to step back one, because I've had bad experiences with dogs. And that's actually what fear is. Fear is that protection. We've heard it, flight or fright. Sometimes it's also freeze, isn't it? Sometimes we just freeze up. And that's just stuff that's going on in our body, and God has actually designed us that way to protect us. So we know we shouldn't try and stroke dogs that are foaming at the mouth. We know we shouldn't go into the middle of the road and play, because that's where cars are. We know we shouldn't touch hot stoves, and we tell our children that, don't we? So we know there's a healthy respect, a healthy sense of fear, that there's some stuff we shouldn't do when we are confronted with something. But there's also a sense in which there's unhealthy fear. We know that flight or fright. Let's come back to that one. There is an unhealthy fear. A fear that's not reasonable. That actually not every dog is foaming at the mouth. Not every dog is going to bite your hand off. Not every situation is unhealthy or is going to cause fear. Some men fear being in the kitchen. We know we shouldn't play with knives, but we don't have to be frightened of being in the kitchen, man. We may not even be aware of some of the unhealthy fears that are in our life. And the unhealthy fears can do this. It's like a boa constrictor. So it won't bite its victim and kill it with its venom. But what it will do is that it will slowly wrap around, slowly constrict until the victim or the person won't be able to breathe anymore. Slowly, slowly crush the life out of us. And that's exactly what fear does. The coils tighten in our life. Fears can reduce our world into a smaller and smaller place and constrict the life out of us. I remember dealing with a friend from the church called Albert. And as I got to know him more, I realized he lived his life in a triangle. Not a Toblerone, a triangle geographically. Because he was so frightened of bridges, he would only go in certain directions and in certain ways where he wouldn't have to cross a bridge. And that meant he basically lived his life in a triangle. He could only go so far that way because there was a bridge. He could only go so far that way because he would have to cross another bridge, and he could only go so far that way. He lived his life in a triangle because of fear. Maybe for us, that's not our fear. Maybe for us, it's a fear of not having enough money. So what we do is we hold tightly onto it, and we make the fact that we either don't have enough money or we want to hold on to our money a top priority in our life. Because we fear not having money. Maybe we've been brought up in an environment where there wasn't enough money. That can be a fear that drives us. Maybe it's a fear of failure. Maybe we've been told repeatedly as a young child, we're never going to make it, we're stupid, we're ugly, whatever we've been told, and we take on that message, and maybe we fear failure, and we're always then trying to achieve, we're always then trying to perform, we're always trying to feel as if we're good enough. But truthfully, that just keeps us working as hard as possible, doesn't it? Does it work? No. Because when you achieve that goal, there's the next one, isn't it? Yeah, but what if? What if? And we live our lives in that fear of failure. For others, maybe it's a fear of illness, disease, or death. Now, obviously, we should have a healthy respect, and we're wearing masks and sanitizing our hands and doing things that are entirely appropriate, because we obviously don't want in this country to happen what's happened in places like India. How terrible is that? And some of the guys that we're supporting are telling us it's absolutely such a desperate and difficult situation, even for them as pastors and leaders in churches. We don't want to go back to that. So we know we need the healthy respect, but we can't live our life in fear. We can't live our life in fear of disease or illness or even death. In fact, we may have got to the place where fears have simply become part of our lives. But the great news and the good news is, no matter how deep our fear, no matter how long we've had that fear, we don't have to live in it. We don't have to live constricted by fear. All of those fears, however long-term they are, can be resolved in Christ. And He is the one who came with grace and truth. I want to mention something to you today. We're going to give you an opportunity for prayer and a little bit of reflection at the end. There'll be some handouts as well, so you can take home and do it a little bit more. But we're limited by time. We know that. So what I want to do on Saturday the 5th of June, it'll be here, and we'll need to book in so we have an idea of numbers and getting the right resources. But we're going to do give you an opportunity for a little bit more extended prayer. Because as we've talked about some of these issues over the last few weeks, guilt, shame, today's fear, next week we're talking about pride. These are issues that stop us experiencing God's grace. And maybe you realize as we've gone through, whether you've been watching online or in person, maybe you've realized that actually they're blockages, they're hindrances in your life. They're constricting your life. We want to give you the space to come for a little bit of quietness, a little bit of quiet music, a gentle time of being led in God's presence to deal with some of these issues in your life, because you don't have to live with them. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in fear. So you can speak to me a little bit more about that if you want to do. So what I want to talk about is the Bible truth very briefly. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and sound judgment. See, that's God's answers to the fear. And we're going to unpack that in a moment. First of all, God gives us the grace of His power. You see, fear robs us of power, doesn't it? Because it starts to limit our choices. It weakens us. It immobilizes us. It's like a rabbit or a deer caught in the headlights. It's that freezing. And it immobilizes us. But God has given us His power. And one of the things we need to do, we need to remember that if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, then the Bible says that we are in Christ. Actually, around 250 times in the New Testament, it talks about being in Christ or in Him. That's our position. That's our identity. And because we're in Christ, the Bible says that we have been raised with Christ in the heavenly places. That's our position. That's our security. That's our strength. So we don't have to live in fear. And it doesn't mean that we have to take a deep breath and kind of say, right, I'm going to be strong. Because how long does that last for? Seconds. Not long, does it? Usually until we meet that person we're fearful of. Or we encounter that circumstance again. So kind of mustering up the strength on our own doesn't work. That's where we need God. We need to realize our position, but we also need to realize that we have power. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And that power comes not from our own strength, but from the power of the Holy Spirit. And so maybe what we need to do in our life is not to be filled up with Line of Duty, though it's a good program, finale tonight. Anybody worked it out yet? No. Not to fill our lives with media, though I love a good movie, not to fill our lives with activities, but actually to ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to do that as we're worshiping a little bit later. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, because that's where the power comes from. It's not our own strength. It's not us trying to do it on our own. Listen, Ian, you'll need a handheld, Liz. I don't know where that is. Do I need to move this out of the way, Ian?
Thank you.
Here's true professionals.
Good morning, church, and good morning to everyone online. We're going to do a short sort of drama. I think that might be a bit too strong a word. A little something with you this morning, and it's something that you can join in with. So I'm going to read out a poem, and as I do so, Ian's going to do some actions, which it would be great to see you joining in with. So can I have everyone on their feet? Now, Ian has some props as well, so you're going to have pretend props, but you can still join in. So as Ian does the actions, please feel free to follow and mirror what he's doing. Here we go. Wear the belt of truth to live God's way every day. So take your belt. Brilliant. I can see some Oscar winners in front of me here. Okay, so I'll start from the top again. We got the idea, and then I'll go a little bit faster. So wear the belt of truth to live God's way every day. You can know what's true and what's a lie that way. The breastplate of righteousness will make you strong. Helps you to do what's right and stay away from what's wrong. Shoes of peace remind that God is in control. You won't be overwhelmed as He rules over all. The shield of faith protects from the enemy's attack. Whatever He throws at you, know that God has got your back. Helmet of salvation keeps your mind from fear. When you feel afraid, pray. God's always near. The sword of the Spirit is God's own book. Open it regularly. It's definitely worth a look. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. You don't need to be afraid. God's given you His armor.
Excellent. Thank you. Wow. Maybe we need to start an acting academy. I don't know. We're going to play a worship song now, a video. It's a worship song. There are actions with this, kids, so many of the adults will know this song as well. It's one of the songs that we did quite a lot during lockdown that we did on Zoom. So Trevor and Daphne, you should be up for this as well. So there's some actions, so follow along with the actions. And then in a couple of weeks, Amelia is going to teach this song and the actions, and the kids are going to be involved. So kids, you need to get involved now. Watch the actions now. You can do your cutting out in a moment, because in a couple of weeks you're going to be doing this, all right? So let's play the video, Philip, and then we'll come back.
God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Well done, thank you. Oops. Too keen.
I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to you. I am a child of God.
Now we're ready. Don't you love it when I make a mistake? Huh? Who said yes? That is true, though. Well, Oscar, do me a favor, just untangle that, please. Great truth in that song. And kids, you'll have a chance to kind of pick up on that and show some of the adults how it's done properly in a couple of weeks' time. It all seemed very simple till we got to the middle bit, and then didn't it? And then it was like, what are we doing now? But truth is, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And the second gift that God provides us with is his love. Fear stops us being motivated by love, because what fear does, it begins to constrict us. And by definition, love is focused on others, isn't it? It's in serving others and in helping others. But fear tends to make you quite narrow, and all you can think about is yourself. All you can think about is protecting yourself, about being secure in yourself, about making sure that you're strong. But this is what the Bible says. One of Jesus' closest disciples, John, says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. And that's one of the things that I hear repeatedly that's so destructive. Maybe God is punishing me. Folks, can I tell you, God does not operate like that. The New Testament does say that God will discipline those whom he loves. But that's to make us more fruitful. That's to make us more Christ-like. God is not a God who punishes those who follow him. So don't ever think that what you're struggling with or what you're dealing with is punishment from God. That simply shows your love is not perfected. It shows that God wants you to experience his love more at a deeper level so that you know that perfect love that casts out fear in your life. Fear will stop you from experiencing God's grace. We need to remember that if we are a follower of Christ, we belong to him. A verse that we've mentioned a couple of times recently, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We can live free before God. We can live free from accusation and condemnation. We don't have to take other people's opinion and definition of us. God is not out to get us. God is not out to punish us. But we have to grow in that, because you can only give to others what you experience yourself. Isn't that true? You can only give away what you possess. And if your love isn't perfected because of fear, then you need to grow in that. You need to experience that. And the good news is you can. And you can do that today. We're going to deal with some stuff at the end. And the final thing, third thing, is the idea of sound judgment. I don't know about you, but some decisions are easy to make. But some decisions you really wrestle with, don't you? Some decisions it seems to take forever. And I'm one of those people, I think I've made a decision, and then Bev will say something, and I think, oh, maybe she's right. Yeah, come on, husbands, admit it. I really need that new phone. And then you speak to your wife, and she needs a new blender or food processor or some new handbag or shoes or something, I don't know. You know, we need sound judgment, but fear distorts sound judgment because it will paralyze us, it will make our world small, it will stop us serving, and it just gets us locked in to not making good decisions. Think of your own life. Think of when you've made bad decisions. Sometimes they've been a result of fear, haven't they? Sometimes they've been a result of just thinking, what if? What if they say this? What if this happens? What if I lose my job? What if I get sick? What if? And fear stops us making good, godly, wise decisions because we get locked into it. But we can have sound judgment. When we act out of fear, we're actually acting out of God's character, outside of it, because we've not been given a spirit of fear. God is not fearful, and we shouldn't live in that fear. Every unhealthy fear comes believing that the object of our fear is both present and powerful, even when it's not. So think of my example of the dog this morning. Labradors are generally soft, aren't they? But I work on the principle that if someone's teeth is bigger than mine, I try to keep my distance. Because if something is present and powerful, big teeth, bite me, then I'm going to keep my distance. But the truth is, with that Labrador this morning, it wasn't that powerful. It was just reacting in a certain way. Jesus said that knowing the truth would set us free. And I want us to be set free from every unhealthy fear. Everything that's not right, everything that's not of God, we don't have to hold on to it. We don't have to live in it. God says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and sound judgment. That's how he wants us to live. That every unhealthy fear, as Kerry said earlier in the sketch, talking to Birdie, every unhealthy fear comes from believing a lie. And the challenge for most of us is kind of identifying what that lie is. And that's what we're going to do a little bit. And one of the most important things that we need to learn from the New Testament, Paul says it in Romans 8, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. That's what God wants to do. He wants to cement that relationship. He wants us to understand that we belong, and we belong to him, and we can live in freedom and fear because of that. So Liz is going to start giving a handout. If you're a couple, you may need to share, and we'll get some more copied. As we say every week, Philip uploads the podcast and the videos on YouTube. The handouts go up as well, so you can go on to the church app or onto the church website and download these for yourself as well. But I want us to think about this idea of the lies, because our fears are often based on lies. And some of the questions we need to ask ourselves honestly is, what are the lies behind the fear that we have? What are the lies that we've believed about ourselves? The lies that we've thought that we're not good enough, that we're not smart enough, that we're not strong enough, that we don't have all the resources. Lies that maybe we believed about God. Maybe that God is punishing us. Maybe that these bad set of circumstances are because we've done something wrong. Maybe we don't believe we can really trust God, that He will come through for us. That's a big one, isn't it? Can we really trust God? But we know from Scripture that it says He will never leave us nor forsake us. He doesn't promise us that everything will be perfect, but He does promise us His presence, that He will be with us. What are the lies that I've believed about others? So often we make assumptions, don't we? We make assumptions about what other people are thinking. Are there some people that we've met and we take an instant dislike to them for no reason other than maybe they remind us of a teacher that wasn't so kind to us, or of some other place and authority? Sorry, all teachers. I know teachers here are really lovely. But you understand, they represent authority, and sometimes they aren't kind. But maybe we believe lies about others, and then when we meet someone, it's like we have a reaction. Why did I react like that? We need to investigate, and we need to ask God. Because if we're going to deal with our fears, we need to bust some strongholds in our life. That's the areas of thinking. That's the areas of patterns of behavior. So what we need to do is work out the lies behind the fear. Find out as many Bible verses as you can to state the truths and write them down. And for those of you who are newer to faith or on that journey, then it's amazing what you can find out on Google. Google what the Bible says about fear. Ask one of the leaders. We can show you some stuff in the Bible as well. There's a lot of stuff out there about how we can deal with the fear. You can write a prayer or a declaration based on that kind of framework, where we renounce the lies that we believed and we announce the truth of God's word. There's a little bit of a framework for you on your notes. And then one of the things I encourage people to do is to read those Bible verses based on the truth for 40 days. 40 days is a really significant thing in the Bible. And even psychologists say it takes about 6 weeks to form new habits. If we do something every day for 40 days, then we can begin to form new habits. And I think in our thinking, we need to form new habits. Because God doesn't want us to live in fear. He doesn't want us to be prisoners. We can have freedom, but we have to respond to what God wants to do. Behind every unhealthy fear is a lie. I'll guarantee you that. I've had to do work in this. Bev's had to do work in this. Every Christian leader I know has had to do work in this area, exposing the lie to believe the truth. But if you will do that, by God's grace, you will experience some freedom. So I'm going to pray a brief prayer, and then Philip's going to start to play some music. Because what I want to do is actually give us some space to think about what's been written down. And then we'll come back, we'll finish the stream, and then Keegan and Amelia and team will come and lead us again. We're just going to play a quiet, soft, gentle song. So if you have a sheet, think about those things. Ask God the Holy Spirit, what lies have I believed? What lies have I believed about myself, about God, about others? And there's a prayer there. You've got a mask on, so no one will even see or hear you praying that prayer that's on the backside of that. But I encourage you to begin that process. And if you want some prayer support after the service as well, we're happy to do that. And definitely think about booking in on that prayer morning on the 5th of June. So, Philip, why don't we play? We're going to play about 5 minutes of this to give you some space. And then we'll come back and close thing.